Living God, may your word be our guide, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and the glory of your Son Jesus Christ our single concern, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many times do you think you've said those words? Maybe more than you can count. But how often do you reflect on what they might mean? On earth as it is in heaven. Usually I just say them, I don't think about them. But on this Christmas morning, I'd like to invite us to dwell on that phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to consider how this Christmas story in Luke shapes our understanding of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I see in this passage in Luke a correspondence, or a resonance, to use a musical term, between heaven and earth, so that what happens in heaven echoes on earth. And we see this played out in two ways, between the angels and the shepherds. Proclamation and praise. Proclamation and praise. So first, proclamation from heaven. Right, the story opens with an angel announcing or proclaiming good news from heaven about the birth of the Messiah to this group of shepherds. What happens after this proclamation? You guessed it. Praise. Praise from heaven. A multitude of the heavenly host, or as it reads in the Greek, a multitude of the heavenly army, appear praising God. Proclamation and then praise. The angels proclaim the good news about the Messiah and then praise God for this good news. And guess what? The shepherds do the exact same thing as the angels. After a frightening encounter with this angel of the Lord and this heavenly army, the shepherds urgently go to see this child. They understand that this business of heaven demands their haste. So they go urgently, and once they arrive in Bethlehem, they make known what has been told them. The shepherds do as the angels do. They proclaim the good news. What happens after this proclamation on earth? You guessed it again. Praise on earth. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. Proclamation and then praise. The shepherds do as the angels do. I think we're getting it, right? We see this correspondence, this resonance. But maybe you're thinking, okay, preacher, that's kind of interesting, I guess. But what does it really matter? What's the significance? Well, friends, I think Luke is telling us that heaven and earth are being brought into alignment. They're being brought back into alignment so that what happens in heaven begins to happen on earth, so that the reality of heaven becomes the reality of earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate this day, is the beginning of this reconciliation, this reunion, this peace between heaven and earth. See, in the birth of King Jesus, the kingdom of heaven has taken root on earth. The kingdom of heaven has driven its stake here into this ground, on this earth. Heaven has made its claim here. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray it in the confidence that God's kingdom has really begun here on earth in the birth of Jesus. In Jesus' ministry, he says again and again, the kingdom of God has come near. You see, friends, in Jesus, heaven is closer to earth than it's ever been, at least since the Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe you've heard the name N.T. Wright. He's a Bible scholar. And he talks about this phrase from Celtic spirituality, thin places. Now, a thin place is where the veil or the curtain between heaven and earth is almost transparent, that they're so close. And this story in Luke about the angels and the shepherds is a thin place where heaven and earth meet intimately. But if we consider the kingdom of heaven coming on earth, we also begin to see how different this kingdom of heaven is than the kingdoms of this earth. If we backed up a few verses in Luke, we would see that Luke tells us about Emperor Augustus, who reigned at this time. Now, Emperor Augustus ruled the Roman Empire, and he proclaimed himself to be the Son of God. And even in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, Augustus was worshipped as the Son of God. So if you're around at this time, if you wanted to see a kingdom, you went to Rome. If you wanted to see glory, you went to Rome. If you wanted to see power, you went to Rome. Emperor Augustus was a king, and his was a kingdom. But then we read our story. And glory and power seem to show up in a very different place to some very unlikely people. Shepherds are not what you would call respected members of society at the time. Shepherds were distrusted. They were considered unreliable witnesses. You didn't take shepherds at their word, right? Their testimony was not allowed in a court of law. Their word was no good. Think about that for a moment. These unreliable, these distrusted shepherds are precisely the ones that God chooses to entrust with the message of Jesus' birth. Think about that. The shepherds are the very first, apart from Mary and Joseph, to see the newborn Messiah. And they confirm to Mary and Joseph that this baby of theirs is indeed the promised Savior. God is relying on those the world finds unreliable. This is a different kind of kingdom. Now, in the angel's announcement, this baby is given the highest possible title, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Friends, this baby is the King of Kings. Can you hear the music now? The glory. Amen. The King of Kings. Now, you would expect this Lord, this King, to be in a golden crib in a palace in Rome, wouldn't you? That's where kings belong. But you don't find this King there. This King is laid instead in the lowest possible place, a manger. Friends, the Lord of heaven is laid in a slop trough for animals. That is Jesus' crib. God takes up residence in the places this world finds undesirable. This is a very different kind of kingdom, isn't it? The glory of the highest heaven comes to the lowest people and to the lowest place imaginable. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke is clear that the birth of Jesus is the start of something fresh, the start of something new. But Luke is also clear that this new beginning marks the start, or also foreshadows an ending. It's both a beginning, but it also points ahead to an ending. Just before our passage, Luke 2, verse 7 reads this. Listen closely. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Okay, the birth of Jesus. Now fast forward to Luke chapter 23, verse 53. Listen closely again. Joseph of Arimathea took down Jesus' body, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been. Wrapped in cloth, laid down. Luke is very intentional to make the birth of Jesus mirror the burial of Jesus. But that's not the only foreshadowing we see. We just discussed how the shepherds, the very first witnesses to Jesus, were considered unreliable, right? They could not be trusted. Their word was no good in a court of law. Do you know who else fit that category at the time? Probably more than half of this room. Women. Their word was untrustworthy. Their testimony was no good in a court of law. Maybe some of you remember, who were the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection? Women. God relies upon those the world finds unreliable. This is a very different kind of kingdom. Friends, the whole story of Jesus' life is the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come on earth. This begins at Jesus' birth. It finds its climax in Jesus' death and is vindicated in Jesus' resurrection. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Last year, I listened to a Methodist minister from Cape Town share about his experience of working for justice in post-apartheid South Africa. And I admire this minister's work. Deeply, deeply admire him. And the ministry he does is an incredible witness. But he said something that just did not sit right with me. He said, and I wish I could give you a South African accent right now, but he said, Jesus seemed a lot more interested in his disciples following him than in worshiping him. Jesus seemed a lot more interested in having his disciples follow him than worship him. It's true. That's a true statement, but I think the motivation, the agenda behind what he was saying suggests that we should focus our energy on mission and not on worship. But if we take this story from Luke seriously, praise always accompanies proclamation. Witness and worship go together. So telling others about Jesus is incomplete without worshiping Jesus. Amen? We must receive grace before we can share it with others. A multitude of the heavenly army said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Glory to God in heaven always goes with peace on earth. Peace on earth is only possible because God has made peace between heaven and earth. we shared the peace of God with one another just minutes ago. And we do that every Sunday. But the only reason we can truly do that is because we have been made at peace with God. So what does that mean? It means that our pursuit of peace and justice and reconciliation in this world, it begins here. It begins here. It begins here in song, in preaching, in the sacraments. That's where peace begins. The good news is always a gift to us. Before it is a mission expected of us. Proclamation and praise, they go together. But once this good news is heard and received, there is certainly news to tell. And we see that in the story. The mission of God from heaven becomes our mission on earth. In the fall of 2007, I was on a walk with a man named Taiwo. Taiwo was a Pentecostal Christian from Nigeria. And Taiwo and I were just getting to know one another. And we were talking about our Christian faith, and I shared with him that my father was a pastor. And so we discussed that, and he came to ask about my father's gifts, and he was absolutely shocked to find that my father did not have the gift of speaking in tongues. He said, "Your father can't be a pastor. That's impossible." So our theologies diverged a bit. And then we got on to talking about evangelism. And again, our theologies diverged a bit. But Taiwo said something that day that has stuck with me ever since. He said, "Andrew, the king's business demands our haste. The king's business demands our haste." The shepherds understood that. Do we understand that today? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Friends in Christ, let the praise of angels from heaven echo on our lips. And let the proclamation, let the good news of Jesus' birth echo from our lips here on earth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.